give your sales team a good timeline for onboarding, right? Because if there's no timeline between sales and production, and there's no clarity between what you're selling and what you're producing, it creates so much confusion. You lose clients this way.
Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast, an auditory journey through the latest in marketing, branding, and advertising. Now, here's your Marketing Expedition guide, Ray Allen.
On this episode of the Marketing Expedition Podcast, we'll get to be speaking with Juliana Marulanda, and with over 20 years of experience across Wall Street, the nonprofit sector, technology startups, and family-owned businesses, Juliana, founder of ScaleTime, has served over 500 digital agencies. Featured by Forbes and Entrepreneur magazine, Juliana has up-leveled businesses into lean, mean, profitable machines. And on an average, she and her team create ways to free up at least 30 hours per week for her clients so that they can have successful agencies that run without them. Founders can find themselves saying, I do what I want, how I want, whenever I want, now that it is freedom. Juliana is passionate about providing audiences with invaluable tools that they can use to instantly start improving their business, whether you're in agency business or not. Any entrepreneur needs to listen to this. And her wealth of agency growth secrets and expertise in growth management will help us all in marketing and agency owners and entrepreneurs on a path to scaling a business. And most entrepreneurs or business owners get to a point where their business is working, but they don't always know how to scale. And we're going to really dive deep into scaling the business and uncover some of the things that hold us back and what those things are. So stay tuned for that. First, it's time for our Marketing Essentials moment, the basics that you need to help you continue to build your brand and your bottom line. On this week's Marketing Essentials moment, I really want to talk to you and tell you and share this amazing story with you. I'll try to keep it short, I promise. And then we'll get into the interview. But okay, so most of you know that I'm an adjunct teacher. I do it because I love it. Students get to learn from me. It's fine. I don't get paid much, but that doesn't matter. But I have to tell you and share with you what happened. So last semester, my students, I teach agency operations, and they have to create their own agencies, and then they compete against each other to then pitch and promote a brand. And I always bring in a real live client so they get real live experience. So I get to partner with I have a list of people that want to join and do this program. So last semester, we partnered with Dapper Custom Suits. Their new startup business. They wanted a marketing plan. They wanted some direction. They wanted some ideas. They wanted some research. They wanted all the things. So my students create their agencies, just like I did 20 years ago with Peppershock Media. And so I share with them pretty much everything because I have nothing to hide, right? And obviously open book. 20,000 people listen to this episode. So yeah, I'm open book. And I interview all kinds of other marketing agency owners. It's great. The moral of the story here is that my students are learning from a real client. So long story short, they go through this semester, they create their agencies. We have three teams that competed against each other this last semester, and it's real world, right? They have to create the plan. It's like a whole RFP process, request for proposal, and they have to do oral presentations for their final. And, you know, I'm not academic, I'm real world. So they have to create real world scenarios. They go through this process, they come up with amazing ideas, all of them. All three agencies came up with great ideas, like unbelievable ideas. Anyway, but we always have to just pick one, and it's kind of so hard. But let me tell you, you'll hear why this is so really pretty cool. And if you ever have an opportunity to participate with a university, wherever you are in the world, your company will, like, you have to just know what the mindset of this next generation is about to unfold, right? I know we always hear the bad things about this generation, But I am so excited for our next generation of students who are about to go into the real world. And they get to learn from a real world professor like me, you know, agency owner. So we go through this process. We create their agencies. They even have to interview each other to see who's going to be the CEO and the account manager and the creative director and the this, that, and the other for all purposes of creating their agency. And then meanwhile, they also have to create a marketing plan to pitch a new prospective client as if they were doing it in real world. So they go through this entire process, all of them, and they come up with major themes and their big ideas and what they're going to pitch and present. And gosh, these students are like coming up with so much creativity and amazing work that they didn't even know they could do because they're pushed into it. They have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And I've said that before. And honestly, they have to get up in front of the classroom and present and pitch and talk and do. And it's just something that I love to see them squirm and flourish and just evolve into the humans that they are going to become in the real world. So they go through this process. And it's actually the prerequisite class for the National Student Advertising Competition class that I also get to teach. And I also get to advise the Boise State Advertising Club, which is a part of the Boise Ad Fed and the Idaho Advertising Federation and the American Advertising Federation. Anyway, they go through this whole process. They come up with all of their ideas. They do the research. They do the SWOT analysis. They do the marketing audit. They look at the target audience and they look at, I mean, they just do all the things that marketing agencies do. And they get to go through all of this. And then they present their written proposal beforehand. So then we, you know, have our panel of judges, which is the prospective client. And I get to kind of sit in that role for them and guide them along the way. So I'm, you know, the professor. So that is what it is. So, but we have a real client sitting, judging and understanding, you know, if they were to actually hire an agency, like what would this process be? And it's actually just as much enlightenment for the company as it is for the students. And let me tell you why. Because they go through this process, they create their written proposals, and they have to proof it. They have to make sure it's what they would want to present if they were in real life. Like I give them, well, kind of brutal feedback, let's just admit. Like I give them everything I got to give them because I want them to succeed, right? It's just the real world. That's how it is. And I tell them that. And most of my students love it. Some just want tasks and order. They just want everything like dialed in. But that's the academic world and I'm not that. So they have to understand like an entrepreneur agency world is a little bit different than your like normal academic world, right? So anyway, we go through this process. They write their written proposals and they submit them and they're just dynamite. All three of them. Like, I can't even tell you. And I've had multiple semesters of dynamite students. Some of my students have gone on, used this as a case study and like even gone on to get fellowships and like all kinds of cool stuff, scholarships for master's programs. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Like, they use this program that I get to teach as something to build their career off of. That's my intent. That's my goal. That's what I want. So they do that. And so then they go and they go through the process and then they give their oral presentations. And I do make every student present. And even if they don't like presenting, I make them do it because it's getting comfortable with the uncomfortable on purpose. They have to. Because I feel like even if they're an introverted person or they need, you know, they don't like it, it's getting them into the mode of what it's like to be in the real world. Because let me tell you, a lot of times people have never had to be in that position before. And if I put them in a position, they may not like it, but sometimes they give me amazing things in the aftermath of it all that they had never been in that position before, right? Anyway, long story short, they go and they present, they pitch, they do the whole dog and pony show. And they make me so freaking proud. And let me just tell you, the team that won, it was so close. All three of them were so good. So close. It was such a hard decision to make this last time. And it always is, like every semester. But the thing that stood out is they did their research. They listened to the client. They listened to what the problems were that they were trying to overcome. And they did such an amazing job. And the really cool thing is, I always say, any client that comes on board to do this with my students, they have to give them a LinkedIn review. So our client, her name is Savannah, she gave the most amazing LinkedIn reviews for our winning students. And then above and beyond that, she actually gave more reviews to the other students too, which I did too, because they just stood out this year. They really did. Not that other students haven't stood out other years, because some of my students have gone on to get major, major scholarships because of this program. And anyway, but the point is, giving LinkedIn reviews for our next generation, when they go and go to try to apply for jobs. And I'll tell you, when I'm trying to hire right now, I do. I go look at their LinkedIn reviews and their, you know, endorsements and their profile and everything. I look at everything because I want to know who I'm about to hire and if they're going to fit in our culture and if they're going to be, you know, the people I want to hire. I tell both my sons all the time, like, whatever you post online, think of it as your next hire. Who's going to hire you and what are you posting or where are you going to get recruited? Where are you going to get recruited for your next, like my older son's playing football. Where are you going to get recruited to and what are they going to see on your socials? And it's so important. So important. So either you're listening to this and you're a student, because all my students have to listen to this. Not have to, they get to, or they should. Anyway, or if you're somebody who's in a leadership position who's about to hire somebody, look at their LinkedIn reviews. Look at their social media profiles. Look at their, you know, all the things that are out there publicly for us to absorb and see who they are as a person. Because I tell you what, it helps with hiring. And if it's out there publicly, I mean, I'm not an HR person, so disclaimer here. Maybe it's, I don't know, but if it's out there publicly for me to absorb, they want me to see it or not, I don't care. I'm going to go research these people before I hire them. And my students with LinkedIn reviews from an actual sort of real life client that they've worked with, I hope that holds a lot of weight. And I also hope that these students get the real world experience that they otherwise wouldn't necessarily get in an academic world. And I think that's why they hired me as an adjunct and like begged me to come do all of this. I love it. I love when my students get to learn from me and leverage what I know and hear my 20 years of experience of running Peppershock Media. Like, they get to hear all the trials and tribulations and, you know, challenges and successes and wonderful things that I get to do every day with our clients. But then these students are our next generation. And I love putting them in positions that are not normal for them. It's not normal for them to have to stand up in front of the classroom and present their elevator pitch or what they do and what they're interested in and make them answer questions in front of entire classes, right? It's not normal because they grew up during the pandemic. They were on Zoom. They didn't have to be in front of people. And I really hope that they see what I'm trying to do for them. And you as employers or people, maybe you're going to be employers, understand that our next generation has an amazing amount of commitment and loyalty and just genuine inquiry of understanding the world. They may not understand right away and they may be very curious and they may ask a lot of questions, but it's our job as the I'll put myself in middle-aged generation. It's our job to teach the next generation and combine that gap of of what they need to be next. And it's so thrilling to get to be a part of their lives and to get to see them graduate and get the next job that I can help them do or that they get because I have set them up for success. And I encourage you, whether you're a next generation lover or not, I want to encourage you to support them, to love on them, even though they may not always be in alignment with your thoughts or opinions or ways of doing things. But love on our next generation because they need it. They need us to help them without them feeling like we're helping them, by the way. But our next generation is going to be our companies and our ability and capabilities to move on beyond where we're at now. I implore you to give our next generation a chance. Even if they have not had a lot of experience, they are eager to learn, a lot of them. You just need to interview and ask the right questions, and we'll have a whole nother episode about that. But I encourage you to just start talking to our next generation if you haven't already. Mentor them. Seek them out on purpose because they need us to help them in their journey, whether they want it or not. So that's what I have to say for this Marketing Essentials moment. Let's help our next generation and you will benefit in abundance. I promise. It might take some time, but you will benefit. All right, let's get into the interview next. Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast. I'm your host, Ray Allen. I'm the president and CEO of Peppershock Media and the founder of the Marketing Expedition Community. And today's guest, we have Juliana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited.
So let's share a little bit of background about your sort of how you got to where you are in helping agencies and companies scale and grow. But tell me, you know, how did you get to that point in doing all of that?
Well, I got to the agency world in a very roundabout way. I started off on Wall Street looking at operations models for 16 hours a day. Didn't love that. Wasn't my favorite thing. Then I'm very high energy. Then I decided to work in sports and entertainment, of all places. And basically, I was like a traveling manager. And they dropped me in a new city about every 4 to 8 weeks. And it was a huge ramp up to scale, right? So it was usually, you know, they were like, okay, Juliana, you're going to go ahead and, you know, get your team of 40 to 50, maybe 75 people, depending on the event. We're going to have a hiring fair, interview 100 people a day, you know, get your team, then train them in 2 days across these massive like arenas that were a mile, you know, and something long. And then go and operate and run $1 million a week.
Nice.
Have fun. Rinse, wash, repeat. And I had no idea what I was doing. And I hated managing people because I had no idea what I was doing. And so my whole thing was like, how do I manage less, train faster, and hire better, right? Like that was my mantra. Right. Manage less, train faster, hire better. And, you know, I did this for quite some time. And then afterwards, the recession hit. So we, you know, back in it's like 2009. And so I found myself doing all sorts of operational gigs. And when I started Scale Time on my own, I was like, okay, I really want to create like operations, right? But at the time, I was really fascinated by digital operations because teams were becoming hybrid, right? You were looking at, you know, full-time, part-time, contractor, subcontractor, offshoring, nearshoring, freelancers. Like it was all this stuff. And I was like, all right, how do we get a team to be able to really deliver on time every time and with quality? And for me, that was really thinking through digital operations. And the group that at the time I had identified to be like more on the vanguard of these hybrid teams and using tools and really thinking about scale were marketing agencies. And more specifically, digital marketing agencies or hybrid agencies. So that's who I decided to work with. And I've been working with over 600 agencies ever since.
That's pretty amazing. And you're right. We hit that time frame and the whole world changed. And still to this day as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little more about you working with the agencies. What are some of the things that you do? Like how, give me some, maybe some success stories or kind of walk me through your process a little bit of how you've helped these agencies scale, or maybe one or two come to mind. Like, tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really helping agencies with their processes to build higher performance teams, right, and systems. And the whole idea is to get the owner out of the weeds. And next level is to get leadership out of the weeds as well. So we've really, you know, working with clients that are like, okay, we're kind of at this 1.3 plateau. We want to get out, you know, and we want to go past that. Because what got you to a million isn't going to get you to three. And also like, you know, agencies that are pushing past the 3 million, trying to get to that sort of eight-figure agency. I would say that's kind of our sweet spot, our process of how we help them. And then I'll go into like a few that we've helped is everyone starts with a scale map. And the scale map is our diagnostic. It's the baby of scale time. It is the one thing that has stayed so consistent throughout the years because we're able to audit your systems, your operations, and really see what's missing at every level. And it's amazing, right? So we're able to identify 50 gaps, right? Operational gaps and gains in 5 minutes. Wow. And I often, it's really cool. Like we've been working on this, you know, for the last 6 years. Yeah. And, you know, now it's like all coded by us and everything like that. So we are so excited to be able to automatically, and we do this for free, right? Like during the pandemic, we really wanted to make it scalable. We wanted to be able to influence the market and really almost have like an industry study. We've had over like 600 data points now, so it's really cool. And we're able to see exactly what's missing and what's going to get you to the next level, right? So it's both diagnostic and prescriptive. Then we take a look at, okay, what do you need for the next 3 months? Let's prioritize it. Because sometimes it's clients will come to us and they're like, oh my God, everything is a shit show. like we can't scale chaos. We really got to get, you know, our stuff together. We got to get our team stuff together. Sometimes someone that's like really key to the team, you know, it could be like the owner's number two person. It could be an ops person. It could be like the person that knows all the marketing and all the stuff that's going on is about to leave. Right. And that's a huge time where it's like, we have to get our documentation in place. We have to get, you know, our processes down. We really need to figure out what people are doing and how they're doing it so that we can codify our special sauce. So that's a huge deal. And then after what's the priority? Because oftentimes if you're putting out fires, it's hard to tell what the priority is. Or on the flip side, if you're just growing really, really quickly and you can see what's ahead, you're like, oh, if this one client, you know, expands, you know, even just a little bit, we're going to get messed up or our quality is going to decline or, you know, or they see their pipeline. If they have a really healthy pipeline and they're closing, they're like, okay, we need to hire more people. We're scaling very quickly. And that's happened to us as well. Right. And so we want to be able to say, okay, what do you need to do for the next 3 months? And then what does the next 3 months after that look like? So you can prioritize, you know, sort of your massive like red light, you know, things, and then your yellow light. And then there's the things that you want to, you know, optimize and you want to geek out on and things like that. So that's sort of our process. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, one of the, you know, we had a client who was scaling very quickly and it was two founders. One was really dedicated to the back end and making sure that the marketing and the quality and the performance metrics and everything was really in place. And one was really focused on sales. And they were growing. They basically scaled from 0 to 1 million in 9 months.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah,
they were very impressive. And they were, you know, and they're like, okay, we're starting to lose quality. We need like better systems in place. But for them initially, it wasn't even about process. It was about performance metrics. Like we need to be able to see like smoke before the fire. We need to get metrics in place and we need to build a process around that. Because when you think about performance of a team, people don't usually associate it with process, but there's an entire process to, first of all, you need to aggregate your information and your data to be able to see what the performance metrics are. You need to be able to track them. You need to be able to have them visible. You need to be able to have, you know, your cadence of feedback loops with the team and a process for that. You need to kind of pick your flavor of KPI, whether it's, okay, we're doing KPIs or performance metrics or OKRs, or we're following, you know, EOS and we're doing ROCs, like whatever that looks like, you know, pick a system and then really start to put in kind of like baby metrics and then higher metrics and everything like that. And as we did the scale map with them, we uncovered that, well, one, they were about to hire like 20 new people in the next quarter.
Oh my God. Yeah. That like makes my heart jump for them.
I know. They were like hiring 20 new people. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And although they had a phenomenal HR person in place, right? Like, you know, she was then doing, and this happens so often, you know, she's doing HR and ops and hadn't had time to really document or optimize her onboarding for these new hires, right? So it wasn't only onboarding for the new hires, but, you know, beyond sort of like, okay, when do you, you know, hand them their paperwork and their technology and, you know, all this stuff, but like, how do we onboard for values? How do we onboard and design culture with every new hire, right? Like, this is the kind of level that we wanted to get to. And once we were able to do that, they expanded to a second office and they were, I think they were in Inc's like top 100 like best places to work at, which was really cool. Yeah. So like we had really tightened up their processes and they've gotten a lot of notoriety. On the other spectrum, right? We had a client that went from 3.5 million to 11 in, I want to say it was 16 months, you know, and they were scaling again, very, very quickly. Founder, you know, is, she's amazing. And with her, what we found interesting was when they originally did the scale map, she actually gave it to each person in leadership because she wanted to see the point of view of the operations and what was missing in terms of their visibility. And that was fascinating because I wasn't expecting that at the moment, right? Like now I'm like, yeah, you could totally have your leadership team do the scale map and we could do this. But she absolutely prototyped that for us. And it was really cool because we were able to see not only gaps in the operations, but gaps in leadership visibility, right? Wow. And what we needed to get them really on board together and aligned. And then we worked on really like their next level project management. I mean, they had like really great project management, but for them, it was like, she was all about the numbers and she was like, okay, I need to not only understand like our hiring, because she had gotten this recruiter that was incredible, right? And they were hiring 25 people a quarter like it was nothing. And so she was like, we have this recruiter that's incredible, but I need to know exactly, right, what our capacity looks like and be able to forecast our pipeline to make better hiring decisions, right? So so it was not like, okay, we need to put systems in place. Like they had systems, but this was next level systems, right? Because this was now the place where she was like, okay, I want to be able to have the system so that they're enforcing our decision-making as a team. So that's what we did with them originally. So that just made It made their sales more profitable. It made their deliverability more profitable. And so she was actually hiring less people than she was beforehand. And her profitability grew by 10%, which was great. And then what we did was we focused on the quality, right? And like her quality controls and all of this and like how it influenced training and then how it influenced not only ongoing training, but onboarding training for each position. And then her profitability grew another 10% because we were able to create so much efficiencies. So that was just really awesome. And I think, you know, as you had asked me sort of for two examples, those are two examples of, you know, if you're sort of like in that 1.3 to 3, and then if you're in the 3 to a million, and we get tons of people that come to us that are less than a million. And usually the prescription is often very similar. It's let's take care of your project management, right? Like let's get your project management really streamlined before you start adding like sexy automations and AI and everything. Let's get your PM system to work really, really, really well. And then let's get your client onboarding and client management to work really well. And usually if we do that combination, people hit a million very quickly.
Nice. Yeah. There's lots of different shiny tools and whistles and things out there. But yeah, if you can't get like these, the basics down and under control, then all those things are going to be just distractions for you as opposed to getting those things done, right?
Absolutely.
Now it's time for a message from one of our partners, KitCaster. Did you know that podcasts are a great way to grow your personal and business brand? And KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. We've had several guests from KitCaster on the Marketing Expedition podcast as well. So if you're an expert in your field, have a unique story to share, or an interesting point of view, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. You can expect a completely customized concierge service from their staff of communication experts. KitCaster is your secret weapon in podcasting for business. Your audience is waiting to hear from you. Go to kitcaster.com/expedition to apply for a special offer for friends of this podcast.
Well, what are some other common things that you find after you do the diagnosis, if you will? What are kind of maybe like the top five things that are very common in companies that have those gaps? Like what are those gaps that are usually what, you know, kind of stagnates or make people plateau?
Absolutely. I would say metrics is often really missing, even if like at any of those plateaus. So measuring, you know, like what gets measured, gets managed, like really, really matters. And I'm not a believer in having 20 million metrics. I really think that if you have a couple of key metrics that you're paying attention to beyond just revenue, right? Because I think every entrepreneur is like, all right, how much money are we making? But I think beyond just revenue and headcount, right? Like having metrics in place for the different, you know, key areas. You know, last year for 2023, one of the things that we saw, if you were tracking, it wasn't necessarily pipelines or revenue, but sales cycles. Sales cycles were so slow. You know, they were like, oh, well, you know, a client that was able to close in 4 to 6 weeks, it was taking them like 8 to 12 weeks to close, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was almost like double, triple the sales cycles. Because with uncertainty, people take longer to close a deal. So things of that nature, right? Like if you're paying attention to your metrics, you can inform better decisions and you can inform really the productivity of your team. And that's really big, whether it's an existing team or positions you want to hire for. Because oftentimes if you're thinking about like, oh, okay, I haven't had a salesperson and now I want to hire a salesperson, right? Do you know what your baselines are? So once you hire them, what are you comparing them to? Right? Like what's your closing rate so that you can ramp up that salesperson, right? Or an account manager. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what I see with a lot of agencies is that, you know, they have account managers that are just maintaining accounts, right? They're like, please just don't lose a client, right? Like just keep them. But they're not really thinking through like, how are they growing the account? What are growth metrics for this account manager? So I think metrics are extremely important and often missing. And we see this sort of like under a million. Sometimes people are tech happy and we have a pillar for technology, right? So like we'll see technology being like really good markers, but there won't be any workflows within that technology. So what that means to me is that you have tech, right? And you're paying for tech, but it's not being optimized, right? And your visibility isn't being optimized and the communication between the team to utilize that technology is not there, right? Oftentimes we hear, it's like, what is this person doing, right? If you, let's say you have a project management system and people are actually, you know, there's templates for the workflows that you have and people are checking things off, right? And you have a dashboard for, right, like your production and what you're doing that you're providing for clients. You don't have to ask what someone's doing. You will be able to see what someone's doing. And that's a big deal. You know, again, under a million, we often see project management is like that piece. We see some client onboarding, which is, you know, usually a good thing, but you know, that can fleshing out your client onboarding process could usually 3x your capacity. So that's a really easy win. So we like to do that with clients that are under a million because, you know, it helps them scale very quickly. 1 to 3 million, what we often see is we see people that have project management, but client management processes for that usually isn't there. Or training across the board isn't there, right? Training and documentation. And so you're at this place where maybe you've been hiring people that know what they're doing. Maybe you have a legacy team, but if you want to scale and you want to grow and you want to hire other people, two things happen. One, we need training and documentation to get people, you know, up and going quickly and productively. The other thing is oftentimes we see that for owners, they're still hanging on to accounts, right? Because you know, because they know Joe Schmo from forever. They've always had the account. They trust them. It's a really big account. How am I going to give that to another human? What if the other human quits and takes the client with them? Right. And so, and if they do have account managers, right. So then each account manager starts doing their own thing. Right. and it's like Lord of the Flies. And so it's like, how do we create processes so that our client deliverability, like the service that we're giving to the clients is consistent, right? Yeah. It's repeatable. Like if an account manager leaves, right, and you put in another account manager, that it's still going to feel like the same brand. It's from the same company. And a lot of this is difficult to put in because account management isn't like let's say you're building, I'm thinking like a marketing funnel. Right. Or right. Like it's all done in communication. And so a lot of it is building, you know, cadences and service blueprints and agendas so that the communication feels the same and that there's that same clarity with the clients and things are being moved forward. So we see that. And then past the 3 million, it's usually a lot of getting the sales process in place as well as performance metrics and having that sort of performance metrics systems and processes, not for your individual contributors, but for your managers. Because at that point, what we really want is not only for our managers to manage, but for them to lead.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about sales a little bit more, because I do feel like that's usually, well, I mean, not usually, I don't know what usually is, but it seems like sales has a big gap sometimes. And that can be such a hardship for people to scale if they don't have the sales in place. What are some things that you recommend when they're trying to scale their sales team?
So one is having a very like visual CRM. There's tons of CRMs and I mean a sales CRM, not an automation CRM, because I always have to make that distinction, you know, and a lot of salespeople who are very good are like very ADD, right? And so like, You know, I think building a really ADD sales process is great because, you know, you want things that are fast. You want things that, you know, will show good performance and hit the dopamine. You want like tools that are easy and that are pretty. And I say this even with like founders who are co-founders and one of them really is taking the sales lead. It's like, all right, you know, usually like the operationally focused sales, it's like, I can't get them to get into the system. I was like, is the system pretty? No, it's not. Okay, make it pretty. I think, you know, these are sort of sales tenets of having really good CRM and making sure that they're using them. I once dated a sales manager. He always said, he's like, if it's not in the CRM, you're not getting paid, right? Like you only get paid if it's in the CRM. So
nice.
That was incentive. And so I think like one is, you know, having a good tech enabled sales process, having your metrics clearly defined. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important because for salespeople, they'll go for the gold, but they need to know what the gold is.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. So like if you're just trying to increase quantity, then you're going for quantity. If you're trying to increase, you know, average order value, then you're going for that. If you're trying to really like go for longer term contracts, you're going for that. Right. So mm-hmm. like have your definition really laid out. The other thing that I would say that often trips people up that is so good is give your sales team a good timeline for onboarding, right? Because if there's no timeline between sales and production, and there's no clarity between what you're selling and what you're producing, it creates so much confusion. You lose clients this way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because then the production team is like, hey, by the way, we haven't done that funnel in like 5 years. You know, we basically said it sucked and we're not selling it anymore. Right. So, right. Or, you know, or they're like, holy crap. Like we can't onboard this person in the next 24 hours. Like our production pipeline, you know, so someone's got to then move everything around. And if the salespeople have a good timeline and clear understanding of the services and training, then you're really able to make the production team happy. Everyone's happy. Everyone's getting paid more. The last point, sort of, if we're going to 80-20 our sales process, is have really good templates or frameworks for follow-up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because 80% of sales happens in the follow-up and everyone hates doing follow-up, including salespeople. So if, you know, if we have consistent decks that you're using, if you have consistent, like, how do we get a person, you know, if you have to get more stakeholders, what does that look like? What are your assets for sales? What's your sales enablement? Having that created and being used consistently will just make your sales team work so much more efficiently. And right. you want them closing and you want them working efficiently.
That's great. And all of those things here, I hope everyone is listening to this. Those are such great nuggets to really glean from. That's awesome. So you have some resources that you like to share. So what are some of those resources?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to put some resources in scaletime.co/podcast/TMEC for all of you. And I know how hard, you know, agency owners work and how grueling it can be, you know, to scale or even just to make things more efficient if you're on that journey. But it doesn't have to be that hard. And so some of the resources that I have is one, join the newsletter and you're going to get like 3 months of quick action tips that will make really big operational impact. And I think that's really important because sometimes taking on all of your operations can seem daunting, but taking like little baby steps is a huge deal. So definitely take advantage of that. The other thing is our 5-minute diagnostic, the scale map. It's huge, right? And being able to look at those 50 ops gaps and gains, you know, usually will result in like 5 hours of reclaim time a week. And we've seen people take that and get like an average of 50K savings.
Nice.
A quarter. It's a game changer to be able to really like hone in. So I'll put that on the page. And if anything here resonated and you want to jump on a call, absolutely do that. I'm here for you. So all that information is going to be on scaletime.co/podcast/TMEC.
Right. TMEC. I love that you're using the abbreviation, the Marketing Expedition Community. That's perfect.
I love it too.
Thank you for that. It's I can't wait to get started with you in doing this. This is awesome for my agency, but other people too. I mean, definitely the proof is in the pudding, they say, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Well, any final parting thoughts or anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we part ways today, Juliana?
The one thing that I would share is if you're starting to do any kind of operations, you know, let go of the perfectionism. Perfectionism gets in the way of progress and process. And absolutely, you know, see how quickly you can make decisions. Right? All process is like a decision tree. And you can always go back and redesign. Like, that's the best thing about process. Like, oops, that didn't work. All right, we're going to do something else. But, you know, if you can increase, and this is going to sound real nerdy, your decision throughput, your processes are going to get so much better, so much faster.
I love that. Yeah. Say it again. So perfectionism gets in the way of performance and profit, right? Or what do you say?
I like that one better. I said progress and process, but I like performance and profit. I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I always say practice makes progress, right?
I say that too. Yeah,
practice makes perfect. No. Practice makes progress.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this wisdom with us today. Very, very appreciative of having you on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me and inviting me to the community. I appreciate all of you, and I'm excited to see your performance for this year.
Awesome. All right. For those of you listening, the best thing you can do is share this with others that you know that need to hear what we talked about today. And of course, give us the reviews and all that good stuff. And until next time, everybody, enjoy your marketing journey.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Expedition Podcast. Want to continue the journey? Don't miss out on new episodes. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wouldn't it be great if there was one place you can go to get all the latest information and tips about marketing and advertising? The Marketing Expedition community is that place. People like you gather in our online community to build relationships with others and find the latest marketing trends, tactics, tools, and technology. We help you build your brand and your bottom line. Start your adventure today. Visit themarketingexpedition.com to find out more.